This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Cam Raslan, and this is Here and Now in Malaysia, made in collaboration with the Economic Transformation Programme. This week, our correspondent, Atika Nadia Zailani, looks at women in the workforce, or the surprising lack of them. Today, female graduates outnumber men, and yet only 46% of Malaysian women are in the workforce. In Singapore, it is 60%. Clearly, we're losing talented, qualified, and experienced people. Why is this, and what can be done about it?
The thing is, in Malaysia, it's not easy. Employers don't really take into consideration the fact that you have a family and that you want to work 3 days a week.
I had a complicated pregnancy that required me to be on bed rest. Childcare were too expensive or they were poor in standards. So there was no flexibility around working hours for me to consider any other alternatives.
The challenges that I faced actually are more, you know, because it's the emotional part of it, that it's okay when I, you know, say goodbye and he's telling me not to leave and I need to price him away from my legs and say, okay, I'm sorry, I have to go.
Those were two women, Miriam and Vinny, sharing the challenges they faced when they attempted to return to work after an extended career break. Today's topic on women working, or more importantly, not working, is of interest to me for two reasons. One, I am myself a woman, and I'm about to leave the workforce, albeit temporarily. I don't think it is too much of a big deal, nor do I think that is a bad thing. Women have been coming in and out of the workforce for years now. It has, however, recently become a much talked about topic. And in this episode, I set out to explore the nuances surrounding the issue of women who discontinue working. Is the exodus of women from the Malaysian workplace so bad that it qualifies as a national problem? Johan Merican, CEO of Talent Corp.
It's been estimated there are just about over a million Malaysians abroad. So it's a significant brain drain. Now, interestingly enough, women leaving the workforce is an equally significant form of brain drain. Right, the World Bank, in a recent study, estimates that we could have as much as 1.3 million absent women.
I work for Johan and Talent Corp, and it is true that the public often latches on to the issue of Malaysians exiting the country as the main contributor to brain drain. Who would have thought that local women as a group are also adding to this drain? But, as I've mentioned before, women leaving the workforce is not something new or radical. So why is it a problem now when it wasn't one before?
So we're going from upper middle income economy to a high income nation. We therefore need to optimize on all available talent. The issue is even more telling given the changing demographics of talent. Now, if you turn back the clock to say 1980s, there were probably one lady for every two men in university. Today, that ratio has flipped or inversed itself such that you now have two women for every man in university. And so that is the pipeline coming out of university. The problem that we face in Malaysia today is that there's a relatively low female participation rate in the workforce. And we have a participation rate of 46%. And what that means is that for every 100 women of working age, only 46 are in the workforce. And you know, we're clearly not optimizing on this talent pool, and obviously this is the increasingly well-educated portion of the talent pool that we're not really optimizing on. And we need them if we are going to be a developed nation.
Malaysia has the lowest women participation rate in the region at 46%, while Singapore has 60 and Thailand has 70. Why do so many Malaysian women choose to leave the workforce?
And obviously the reasons that come up are in terms of raising a family, lack of work-life balance, and perhaps looking after an elderly family member.
I decided to speak to two women who actually experienced leaving and then returning back to work. First, I met Miriam, who is a lawyer, to find out why she chose to leave the workforce 2.5 years ago.
And then we decided to have a family. And when I decided to have a family, then we had to make the crucial decision. Well, you know, did I want to continue working? Because it was getting quite hectic. So it was a difficult decision to make. My husband and I had to, you know, decide whether we were okay with a one income. Friends were shocked because, you know, after working for 10 years, They were wondering, are you sure this is the right decision? I think even my parents were a bit skeptical at first, and they weren't really, they were skeptical, but they were supportive. But more importantly, my husband said, okay, go ahead, let's just do it.
I also spoke to Vinny, a mother of three who currently works at a multinational company and is a regional manager. In her 18 years of experience in the workforce, she has taken two career breaks. Her first break was 10 years ago. What was going through her mind as she was deciding to leave?
So why don't you tell us about the first time you left the workforce and how you came to that decision?
Okay, I truly recall this period being a tough one when I had to make decisions to leave the workforce during the peak of my career for an indefinite period, I must say. I had a complicated pregnancy that required me to be on bed rest. There was no way an employer was going to give me 15 months, 9 months plus another 6 what have you, months of a break. Childcare were too expensive or they were poor in standards. So there was no flexibility around working hours for me to consider any other alternatives.
Is the phenomenon of women leaving the workforce unique to Malaysia? I'm pretty sure it happens elsewhere too. Let's compare ourselves to other nations, true to our kiasu and kepochi nature. When you chart out the trend for women in the workforce for countries like Sweden, Finland, and Norway, you get what is called a double hump, like the back of a camel, where the number of women working peaks in the early 20s, so that's the first hump, then slumps down as they leave to start families, but it peaks up again when they return, making the second hump. In Malaysia, the line also peaks in the early 20s, and it also goes down, but the thing is, it stays down. What this means is our women are not returning. Is it because they enjoy motherhood and their family so much? Based on the recent report titled Retaining Women in the Workforce, those assumptions are not true, as an overwhelming 93% of women who left want to return to the workforce. So why are they not returning?
The thing is, in Malaysia, it's not easy to have... First of all, employers don't really take into consideration the fact that you have a family and that you want to work 3 days a week or 4 days a week, because mothers nowadays, or ladies, I think they are getting pregnant and having their babies later on in life, maybe in their mid-30s. By that time, they would have had a considerable amount of years working, but maybe they want to take a break. So what happens after that? I mean, we all can be made redundant. We still are, we have skills that we have. They are transferable. They could be used in any industry.
Miriam recently returned to the workforce because she felt the need to pursue her career, but also because raising a child in a one-income household is too difficult. For her, the return was definitely not without its challenges.
The challenges that I faced actually are more, because it's just been 2 weeks, they're more, being able to handle this whole thing of being away from him. It's the emotional part of it, that it's okay when I, say goodbye and he's telling me not to leave and I need to prise him away from my legs and say, okay, I'm sorry, I have to go. Okay, those kind of things
emotional
that I'm... Emotional. But I am really blessed because my mom and dad have... My mom is... Well, she stopped work. My dad's around. So they are the primary caregivers for him right now. So at least that part is taken care of because then I know he's in safe hands. Yeah.
It is certainly not easy to return after a career break. Luckily for Miriam, she had the full support of her husband and family. Vinny made her way back into the workforce on 2 occasions. And for her, it was about her ambition to pursue a career. But ambition didn't mean doors were open for her.
About 41% of hiring professionals who think women are difficult to reintegrate into workforce after break, according to a survey done by HR technology consultancy ETS PLC. So that kind of sums up how exactly I had been, in one of those deprived numbers, you must say.
Ambition and a supportive family go a long way to enable women to return. But what can employers do to make it easier?
Conducting orientation courses to help them adjust working life and building up their confidence. Right? Encouraging employers to provide more part-time and flexible working arrangements. Look at your job functions again. What are the jobs that you could really strengthen into a flexible working arrangements? Like, for example, if you look at an organization such as PwC, they have really converted some of their accounts job, administration jobs, where they allow women to look to extend or to reduce their hours to support the flexible working hours policy. offer jobs with better pay and benefits to encourage women to come back, perhaps looking at childcare support, or even having a childcare support for large organizations, right? Provide women with more information on job opportunities through mass media, seminars, or workshops. I know of companies who have actually been going out there and doing nationwide workshops to encourage women to come back into the working industry. Above all, none of this is possible if we as a nation do not change employers' attitude and to be more receptive and employing women to encourage them to come back.
So there is a problem. There is a lack of participation of women in the workforce, and those who are eager to re-enter are finding it difficult to do so. Coming up, we take a look at what is already in place to accommodate these returnees and whether more women can make their way to the boardrooms. You're listening to Here and Now, made in collaboration with the Economic Transformation Programme on BFM 89.9. You're listening to Here and Now, made in collaboration with the Economic Transformation Programme on BFM 89.9. We're taking a look at the important issue of how Malaysian employers can get women to come back to work. Earlier, I spoke to two women who have left and returned to the workforce, Vinny and Miriam, about the challenges and struggles they faced. So I decided to speak to some employers to see what policies they have in place to ease these challenges. I met with Suguna Verumandi, Human Resources Director for Malaysia and Brunei at General Electric. On top of flexible hours and flexible benefits, what else is General Electric doing to address the issue of promoting women to return and then retaining them?
Firstly, I must say that one of the key attributes in attracting and retaining women in GE is our GE Women's Network, where the aim of this GE's Women's Network is to foster professional women growth in order to attract and retain successful women in GE. It's a very interesting concept because this model is built on an 80-20 concept where 80% of the focus of the model is to grow women in the organization and 20% is to talk on programs on work-life flexibility and community outreach. So let me talk a little bit about the 80% focal in terms of growing women in the organization. So these are simple things like having programs that help women grow their career. So as an example, we do have programs on financial skills just for women, leadership practices just for women in our organization. The 20% concept that I spoke about is on work-life flexibility and community outreach. Now, we believe that whatever we do in our organization should not just stay with us. It should go out and we need to reach out to the community that we live in. So a lot of the programs that women do also focus and, you know, orphanage programs for old folks and things like that, because we want to make an impact to the society as well. So this is where really the programs are pretty unique.
Indeed, multinational companies like General Electric are known to be flexible and accommodative to women and their needs. But what about Malaysian companies? I asked Muhammad Khalis Abdul Rahim, Chief Human Capital Officer from Telecom Malaysia. They too have flexi hours, counselling, telecommuting and childcare centres. But they also have other programs that are quite unique.
We have NGOs in the company that cater for women, such as Tiaranita, that consists of the women employees in the company as members. And they have a lot of activities done, centered for the female staff. These NGOs provide things like seminars in terms of work-life balance, stress management, and so on and so forth. In addition to that, when you look at our benefits, okay, we do have ONG consultations, you know, for expecting mothers, you know. In addition to that, we comply to the 2 months maternity leave for our female employees.
How have employers and managers responded to the programs?
Getting the business to realign itself to accommodate such requests. But after a while, what we find that it can be done, we just need to recognize that some of these employees that need these kind of facilities are real contributors and they just need help. And the philosophy is that if we provide help and the right kind of environment for them, they can even contribute more. So I guess with that understanding, managers start to sort of view these facilities differently.
Clearly, local companies are just as capable as MNCs in accommodating women returnees. While women who leave the workforce and do not return is an issue, women who remain in the workforce also face their own set of challenges. Johan Merican of Talent Corp explains.
About half entry-level professionals are women, but then once you hit middle management, it sort of, you know, collapses to about 11%, and representation in boards and CEOs is only about 5%.
So I decided to speak to the CEO of SME Corp, Datuk Hafsa Hashim, who is one of the 5% of women in top management. What does it take to make it to the top?
We're having this steel attitude, very passionate in their work, very determined people, very disciplined people, and also the fact that they are very much structured and very focused. Because in any case, in their climb to the top, they are very good time managers. They are the ones who you would see portray that leadership attributes. Not only can they run a family, but they can also run an organization.
Beyond the individual, what are some things that can be done, perhaps by leaders of organizations, to enable other women to reach the top? Johan Merican of Talent Corp.
So what more can we do towards the pipeline of women going up to leadership? The NIEW is doing various capacity building. We're basically looking to introduce, you know, mentoring programs towards helping that pipeline. So that just gives you a quick snapshot about what we're doing in this space.
Datuk Hafsa Hashim agrees.
One of the things that has been talked about in basically trying to increase the number of women in top management is to have mentoring relationships. What do you think about that suggestion?
I think mentoring relationships is very important because we have got this mentor-mentee program. And that program works to the T, because I think for us, there is a regular report of it and also a regular feedback. We meet both the mentors and the mentees on a quarterly basis. From the mentees, they will share with us the experience that they go through with the mentors, and they're able to share with us the advantages and how do you improve the program for the future.
Hopefully, with women leaders guiding other women to greater success, we will see more representation at the top. But it's not just up to women leaders. Other leaders across various Malaysian companies have also stepped up to become champions of gender diversity. But as Johan Merican reminds us, it is more than just coming up with policies and programs.
I guess, you know, there is also this challenge that perhaps in Malaysia, we also have this culture that, you know, we want to see the colleague or staff, you know, right there, present, you know, up to whatever time we may leave or whatever it is. Obviously, if you're then trying to shift to, say, working from home or flexible hours, then you really need to shift towards, shall we say, a more mature, progressive employer culture, which then focuses on outcomes as opposed to just output or presence. And I guess these are perhaps, I mean, anecdotally, some areas where perhaps part of corporate Malaysia, I guess, needs to modernize and be more progressive if we then really want to fully optimize on our talent pool, particularly our women talent.
As mentioned earlier, I plan to go on a sabbatical, not to have babies, but simply for what sabbatical itself stands for, a period of rest and rejuvenation where one focuses on non-career goals, on building different skills and on doing interesting research. In that way, I am different from the women we interviewed. When I return, my challenges will be different from what Miriam and Vinny faced, but many will also be the same, such as the negative perception on career breaks, that you're not competitive, that your skills are outdated, that you're not committed, so on and so forth. It will be interesting for me to find out for myself. The women who I spoke to wish this issue had been highlighted years ago, back when they were experiencing and struggling through it. In a sense, the current generation of women are fortunate that people are now paying attention to the challenges we face when we return to work. It is then up to us to make use of existing policies, and if such policies are absent, to then demand them.
Atika Nadia Zailani, looking at the problems facing women in returning to work. Clearly, this is an important issue affecting not only the workforce, but home life as well. But it's nothing that more enlightened 21st century work practices cannot solve. If you have any comments or feedback, then please get in touch with us on our Facebook page. Here and Now is made in collaboration with the Economic Transformation Programme. And thank you for listening to Here and Now in Malaysia on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.